Hello, and welcome to Distillations, weekly extracts from the past, present, and future of chemistry. I'm Robert Hicks. Each week, we bring you stories about all things chemical, from heavy metals to helium. In this week's show, we're talking about trash. We'll learn about recycling all of those old electronics you've got sitting around the house, and how waste from aluminum manufacturing is finding its way into countertops and walls. That's all coming up on today's episode of Distillations. Matter. We all know it can be neither created nor destroyed, but it can be transformed. That's where chemistry comes in, converting the abstract matter of our universe into the stuff of our everyday lives. Trees become a desk and chair. Sand becomes a microchip. But these transformations are never tidy. Waste piles up both along the way and at the end of a product's life. Usually, waste gets thrown away. But if matter can neither be created nor destroyed, what does that really mean? Unfortunately, in the case of cadmium, much of it is heading back where it came from, into the soil. Gigi Naglack has more in today's Element of the Week.
Cadmium was first identified as an impurity in samples of zinc. Its yellow sulfide compounds are often used in pigments and coatings. It's also used as a stabilizer for plastics. But cadmium is most commonly found in the everyday, ordinary battery. NiCad batteries, which include nickel and cadmium, account for about 3/4 of all cadmium used in industrial processes. But NiCad batteries have some disadvantages. They cost more and are more labor-intensive to produce than other batteries. And since cadmium is a known carcinogen, industrial use of the metal requires constant attention to safety. Still, they're popular because they can be recharged and have a significantly longer lifespan than other similar batteries. But even the longest-lasting rechargeables have a finite lifespan. So what happens when these batteries are past their prime? Few recycling options exist, so most of them get junked. Although new research suggests that the cadmium from NiCad batteries can be recovered, the process requires an extraordinary amount of energy. And that's bad news in a world where energy is in short supply. The difficulty of recovering cadmium, along with its toxicity, are some of the reasons why cadmium use, especially in the European Union, is on the way out in high-tech applications. And that's it for the Element of the Week. I'm Gigi Naglack.
Gigi Naglack is a curatorial assistant at CHF. Aluminum was once the favored tableware of the Tsars because its extreme expense made it a luxury item. Now, it's ubiquitous. For many of us, it seems like the quintessential recycled material. But much of the time, aluminum scraps from manufacturing processes can't be recycled. Enter Demir Hamami, president of Renewed Materials. He invented alchemy, a countertop material made of recycled aluminum shavings cast in polyurethane. CHF's Jody Roberts asked him about the aluminum he uses in his products.
The scrap is generated typically from milling and machining of aluminum parts. And the scrap is very fine flake, fine chips of aluminum. And we found that when aluminum like this type of material was sent in for recycling, the smelting process was a very intense heat process, which was approximately 1100 degrees Fahrenheit, and light gauge aluminum like this most likely was burning up. So most of the scrap in this case was either going to landfills or burning up. It also had a very beautiful look to it.
Could you tell me a little bit more about how you came across the scrap as a potential material in the first place?
Yes, I am a product designer and I also do a lot of architectural work as well. And regarding one of my projects, I was visiting an aluminum shop and walking into the plant, I saw these dumpsters that were loaded with this beautiful, visually beautiful scrap. And I inquired as to what happened to it. And they said they basically dispose of it.
So how did things move from getting that first box of scrap into developing an ongoing relationship, either with that same supplier, or did you reach out to new suppliers to make sure that you could get enough of this scrap?
Yeah, as I did go out looking for other suppliers, because I realized that depending on the producer or the part manufacturer, the scrap varied in characteristic, and also there were additives of sorts for people who were cutting this material. Some used oil lubricants, while others used synthetic lubricants, and they all presented certain challenges in how they blended with the resins that I was experimenting with.
It's a very interesting industrial ecology you're building.
We're always searching for ways of being sustainable and not only innovating our products, but the process of how we're working with our materials. For instance, we're currently taking the scrap that we generate, which is sanding dust, and we didn't want to see it end up in landfills. And what we've done is blended our own sanding dust back into our formulas and came up with our opaque product, which is called Alchemy Opaque.
Well, it all sounds very exciting. Damir Hamami, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you very much. I truly appreciate your interest.
Damir Hamami is the president of Renewed Materials. His product, Alchemy, is being used in the Chemical Heritage Foundation's new museum and conference center, which opens this fall. For pictures of recycled aluminum countertops, along with links to past episodes of Distillations, check out our website at distillations.chemheritage.org. You're listening to Distillations. I'm Robert Hicks. Moore's Law tells us that the number of transistors that can fit on a computer chip is increasing exponentially. In fact, it doubles about every 2 years. And that means that there are a lot of computers out there that get treated as junk. Electronic waste, or e-waste, is piling up faster than most municipalities can cart it away. And that's a problem, because e-waste is full of toxic heavy metals. To combat the growing pile of electronic trash, some governments are implementing recycling programs. Jory Lewis has more from New York.
Garbage pickup runs like clockwork on my block in Brooklyn. I should know, since my window faces the street, and every Wednesday and Saturday morning, I hear this. Walking down the block the night before garbage pickup is literally like walking through streets of trash. That includes piles of the regular black and blue bags, sure, and a junk man's treasure trove of old sofas and shelves, as well as televisions, hard drives, and radios. That needles Rita Kersonis, a landlord in Brooklyn, who says her motto goes like this.
Use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without.
Kersonis often brings old TVs and computers to an electronic recycling drop-off point at a salvage warehouse in Queens.
That's a good thing, to keep it out of the landfills.
The Environmental Protection Agency estimates that Americans throw about 80% of their mini electronic cast-offs straight into the trash. And when those VCRs and laptops get collected as ordinary everyday garbage, the pollutants inside of them, like lead, mercury, and cadmium, can seep out and contaminate the soil, water, and air. That's what Brooklynian Robert Svedlak was afraid would happen if he left his old compact computer to rot in landfills in Pennsylvania or Ghana. So he carted it over to the Queens drop-off point, too, and was one of a handful of people who came in that day. Svedlak just wishes these places were more popular.
Yeah, there's millions of people in New York City. Where are they? I mean, I'm sure everybody every day is throwing away computers and electronics, and because of the turnover rate and the change in technology. So I'm really happy to see this, but at the same time, I'm just, you know, miffed as to why there's just not a line down the block. We really need to do more about recycling.
And the city is doing something about it. The city of New York recently passed an e-waste law. At a public signing of the bill in April, Mayor Michael Bloomberg promoted it as a model.
New York City will be the first municipality to pass e-waste legislation, which will protect the health and safety and welfare of the citizens of New York City.
The law will force manufacturers to establish electronic waste collection programs. Even though the city still needs to set collection goals for manufacturers, they expect collection protocols to be up and running in the next few years. And the burden of cutting through all those tons of e-waste can't fall on the manufacturers alone, said Department of Sanitation Commissioner John Doherty.
People have to recycle it. I mean, it's great to have the bill, but if people don't go out there and properly dispose of it, we're not getting anywhere.
By 2010, the city will fine residents who get caught leaving stuff on the curb. Many in the environmental community say that they hope these types of regulations will affect not just the amount of electronics we throw away, but also how we build those TVs and computers in the first place. Dale Jamieson is the director of the Environmental Studies Program at New York University.
If a company has to take back the computer that doesn't work anymore, the television set that doesn't work anymore, then they're going to make sure, first, that device works for a very long time. They're going to make sure that it's manufactured out of easily recyclable parts, and so on and so forth.
In response to these types of laws in Europe, computer companies like Dell and Apple have already stepped up their use of recyclable materials. They are building up green street cred by eliminating certain hazardous chemicals in their laptops, desktops, and printers. That's because our society loves its electronics, and the only thing we like more than our old BlackBerries and MacBooks are the newer ones. For Distillations, I'm Jory Lewis.
Jory Lewis is a reporter based in New York. And that's it for this week's episode of Distillations. Today's quotation is a Chinese proverb, as translated by the 19th century folklorist William Scarborough. Though living near a river, do not waste water. Though living near mountains, do not waste firewood. Distillations is a presentation of the Chemical Heritage Foundation and is made possible by the generous support of the Richard Lounsbery Foundation. Mia Lobel is our senior producer with help this week from Lissa Rome and Catherine Girardeau. Our assistant producer is Victoria Indivero, and our executive producer is Audra Wolf. Our theme music is composed and performed by Dave Kaufman. Additional music provided from the PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com. Please tell us what you think about our program and send suggestions for future shows to distillations@chemheritage.org. Until next time, I'm Robert Hicks.